No, is it? What? No, is it? What?
Can we do a 5-second countdown now?
If you want. Go on.
And then can Luke say the first thing?
We are live.
We are live.
We are, and we all had games today. It's fucking annoying, isn't it?
I'd like to welcome everyone to the podcast that everybody wanted.
Yeah. I'm not so sure on that. I would have rather an Arsenal win. But.
Well, okay. What me and Mitchell wanted.
Anyway. Yeah, we enjoyed it. Let us enjoy our moment, Clive. All right. Yeah. Hope you enjoyed your moment, Luke.
Ah, oh, dear.
It lasted very long.
It did, and I knew it was going to bite me in the ass. We all knew it.
fun old Sunday. What a fun old Sunday.
Fun old Tottenham, mate.
Dear, oh dear.
Right, we're going to start with the Arsenal-Liverpool game. I didn't actually see the first half live. I've had to watch a recording of it because I was travelling back from the West Ham game, funnily enough.
Priority day.
I mean, when you're a football fan, Luke, you get offered a ticket, you try and go.
No, I won't go watch West Ham.
Why not? Clive, you can go more often, by the way.
I'm sure I can. I probably won't. It was, spoiler alert, it was pretty fucking awful.
We're not on that match yet, Clive.
Yeah, we're not. So let's go back to the Arsenal. Saka's back. Great goal. Great ball by Ben White as well. What a superb pass.
That pissed me off, Clive.
Poor defending.
What pissed you off about it?
Well, because I took Saka out of my dream team because Arteta told me he was injured. And guess who I replaced him with?
An injured player?
Yeah, Son.
Yeah, should have asked.
What a
prick. Should have asked. What I told you.
Should have asked Ange.
Did you not see the news, or did you watch the post match?
Press conference. No.
Post match pre match.
Welcome to the post match pre match.
Hey, mate, you never know.
But yeah, great ball by Ben White. Saka has Robertson for days.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. And he was a handful, like most of the match, Saka. Which is nothing new. He looked sharp. Martinelli looked sharp on the left as well against Trent. I've said it a couple of times this season, the maturity in regards to defensive work from our two forward players is fantastic. Like, we've got Thomas Partey playing at right back. Saka's just come back from an injury, but he's giving it, he's always tracking back. He's making sure Partey's never overloaded. I feel this game was maybe if we didn't have Timber and Gabriel come off injured, we hold out and win that game. Liverpool were starting to dominate in the second half, certainly the second half of the second half. But I still think we had probably, when it went 2-0, I think we had the two best chances. I'm not sure why the referee pulled up on a foul.
Knew that was coming.
I'm not saying it wasn't a foul. I'm just not sure. Kind of like he waits to see how play's going to go. Like when Liverpool, like if you're going to call a foul there, just call it straight away.
I thought he did call the foul straight away.
Like he stands there, looks for a sec, like not.
He goes probably, to it, doesn't he?
And then he lets the next bit go on, and then he like blows his whistle. So I didn't understand that.
Yeah, because I heard the whistle, and then they were just carrying on.
But so there's a moment there he should have, like, if he thinks it was, it Kiryor or the defender who jumps up higher before it goes to Havertz.
Yeah.
Like, and he's given the foul for him being on the Liverpool player's back is what I'd guess.
It was a foul.
It was a foul.
I hate to say this, but it looked like more of a 50-50. It can be given, it can not be given.
Yeah, I think if it's not so... If that's a defender doing it to a striker,
yeah,
like when the defender's defending, it's probably not going to be a free kick to the forward. But I don't
understand what he's waiting for, the ref, because
that's what I don't understand.
If he's waiting, is it to benefit Arsenal, or is he literally going, are they going to score? I'm going to blow my whistle now.
You're starting a conspiracy theory.
There's no conspiracy here, Mitchell. Come on, mate. Don't get started.
That's you.
You know it's going to be all over Twitter.
You know, Arsenal fans are like...
And you should have the call now, shouldn't you? Last minute.
Right at the end, yeah. Like, I mean, we should have. That was obvious, a corner, but Analino's that side as well. But like, as I say, I'm happy to have the two all draw, given the amount of players that we've had in and out of the team at the moment. And when you've got Ben White and Kirior as your two centre halves, and Thomas Partey at right back, and then a 17-year-old come on and be left back to finish 2-2 against Liverpool, who have. Top of the league, well, not top anymore, but I've been playing very well all season. It's you've got to take the positives out of it, right?
I like the look of that Lewis Skelly.
He played against Shakhtar midweek as well. Like, he come on when Calafiori went off injured, and he just looks tidy. Like, he doesn't look like he's, and I think it may be because he's a bit young as well. Like, he doesn't look like he's going to play us into trouble. He knows when to get rid of the ball, and when he come on against Shakhtar, like, it's a difficult match to come on, and everyone in the crowd thought he's going to put Zinchenko on now against the Ukrainian team. He put Zink on to just see out the game, so it was a bit surprising that he went with Skelly, but yeah, he come on and he didn't look out of place. He can play the ball. There's maybe one or two times he could have done an overlapping run and given us a bit more of an option, but I think the game was getting stretched and he's probably been told not to. But I think after they got the equaliser, we took control of the game back again, and we looked like the more likely to, although Neville turned around and said during the commentary, it looks like Liverpool would get a winner. I didn't think that at all. I didn't really, after they got the goal, I didn't really see them do much else, really. And when you've got that Arsenal defence as it was at that point, if you're Liverpool, surely you just got to go all guns blazing at that point. Like, it's not anywhere near an Arsenal first choice defence at that point. So
yeah, I think it was probably fair to say at the point where it was 2-1 Arsenal, and then I think you've already mentioned they had that brief like 20-minute period in the second half.
It looked like they was going to score. Like,
yeah,
as soon as Gabriel went off, it looked like, oh, Liverpool will get at least one goal out of this now.
Yeah,
it had to be Big Mo as well, didn't it? And that goal was well played. Like, again, from a defender's point of view, like, surely we could do it a little bit better. It looks like a straight ball from Alexander Arnold.
Oh, but that's brilliant, though, wouldn't it?
It was a good ball. Yeah, it was, and he tried it a couple times before then, so there was warning signs of what he was trying to do. But it was a really tidy finish by Salah when he was in the box. Rice's delivery for our second goal was spot on, from dead balls. I don't know why England aren't getting them on more. Honestly, I know you've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, but Rice is consistently putting,
that's a myth, mate,
balls in there for people to go and gobble up.
Ooh.
But yeah, overall, I like 2-2 draw with the players that were missing. I think it's a positive result, and the biggest positive is Saka's back. Saka is back, baby.
He barely even lent. When?
I know, but we missed him. We fucking lost without him, didn't we? So,
well, I think that was a send it off, though, wasn't
it? It had a massive impact on it. Yeah, like most games where players get sent off.
Except Tottenham.
Sorry.
What?
Anyone else got any points to make about Arsenal Liverpool?
I do.
Go on.
Ooh.
And it's not a bad one, actually, for once. I watched the game. I thought you were just unlucky on a few occasions. The Arsenal team at the moment, where Gabriel, was it a knock in the end? I think I just missed that. I went downstairs at the time.
Yeah, so Darwin Nunes kind of ran into him, and I think it was knee-to-knee contact. So yeah,
so a bit of a knock, then he'll be all right.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he was out there with ice on it kind of suggests that it'd probably be okay for Newcastle.
So with that, with Saliba being out, I mean, it should be fine for coming back. Do you reckon, well, a good result, I still think it's a good result against Liverpool with the players that you've got out at the moment. Do you think in the January transfer window, you'll look to strengthen up, or do you reckon the team that you've got now, if, for instance, Saliba, Gabriel, because at the moment they are the force to be reckoned with at the back.
Yeah, I don't think defensively, don't get me wrong, it's a bit freak moment at the moment that we've got so many defensive injuries, right? Yeah. Like you've got Zinchenko, you've got Kirior, you've got Timber, Calafiori, Ben White, Gabriel, Saliba, Tomiyasu. That should be enough. And then you've got a couple of youth players that you can sprinkle in there if needs be. So I don't think, because four of those, like, so Timber, Tomiyasu, Calafiori, and Ben White can all play centre half as well. And Thomas Partey, that's a good point in regards to actually giving Thomas Partey a shout out, because he's played the last couple of games at right back, and we started him there last season at right back over Ben White, and it looked so bad. It wasn't good. But this season, when he's been called upon, I think Thomas Partey's got a real good shout to be probably one of three players of the season so far for Arsenal. So far, he took a couple of games to get going, but in defensive midfield, he's looked solid. And at right back, when you put him at right back against it was Luis Diaz today, you think Luis Diaz has got the pace to beat Partey and run away from him.
He did it a couple of times, but yeah, I mean, most of the
once
time.
Or twice he did, yeah. but of the time, Partey attacked the ball very well and made a challenge before Diaz had a chance.
You're never not going to stop a winger the whole game.
No.
There's always going to be one or two chances. It just depends on what they do with it at the end of it and nothing come out of it. I mean, it's close, but...
Yeah, I mean, mate, one of my notes were their first go, Van Dijk's header, Luis Diaz winning the first ball. We shouldn't be allowing that.
No, because it has to be his.
Yeah, and it's Kai Havertz challenging him as well. So Kai's, six foot? Something, so yeah, we should be doing a bit better there. But yeah, so I think if we are going to strengthen, well, I mean, the place that we are screaming out for investment is the forward, world class forward that's going to get 20 to 30 goals a season.
I think Kai can do that for you, but I think as soon as he goes off as a sub or he's having a couple of games, I really do. I don't think he's got that
many goals in him a season.
I think centre forward. I've watched him a few times now, and his position and his pace, he's got that ability to do it compared to Jesus, and you'll keep getting those balls in.
The thing that Kai does as well, which don't get me wrong, if you offered me a Dusan Vlahović, who's at Juventus, or the guy at Sport Lisbon, I'm not even going to try and say his name. They're scoring goals for fun and they look like they'd fit in.
Yeah.
But if you look at what Kai Havertz does off of the ball as well, he tucks in, he does a lot of running, he gives us that out ball from the long ball option as well. The amount of times he wins the ball in the air, brings it down and then brings players in around him. Jesus doesn't do that. And the other strikers mentioned, who do you go out and buy?
Isak.
Yeah, but
he's only got a year left, hasn't he?
He has, and it's stalled. I don't get me wrong, I've named Isak before as a striker, but it depends on would that work in our system. He's a hard worker, but if we need an outball, if we need a big centre forward to hold up play when we are defending deep, would he be able to do that?
I think personally that he goes missing in those situations. Isak, I think he's a really good player, but I don't think he's capable. He is capable of doing it, but I don't think he's very good at it.
And that's another point. Is Kai Havertz? He's there for big occasions. He doesn't fright away. Obviously scored unfortunately, a Champions League winning goal for the wrong club. but he is a big player. But it's that ruthlessness, right? And that's what Arsenal need to, if we need the player to go and beat Man City to the title, and it is a striker, with Ramsdale, Arteta showed how ruthless he is, that he will go and replace him if he thinks there's a slight percentage. And I think he's going to similarly do the same with Ben White. When we've got a fully fit defence, Ben White's been class for us. He's been absolutely outstanding for a season and a half, two seasons. But with a fully fit team, Timber is probably going to start at right back and Calafiori at left back. And that's those ruthless decisions that we need a manager to make. Other managers probably wouldn't make that decision. So, and having the quality of Kai to come off the bench would be, again, second to none. Like, it's the depth that we need. At the moment, when Jesus is coming off the bench, you're not thinking he's going to get a goal for us at the moment. And that's because his confidence is low.
He needs more game time. And Mitchell, on the Havertz one, I'm thinking more the lower end of the 15 to 20, but I still think it's the 15 still, or 16 goals. He's got it in him, Havertz. And it's not just that. The thing is, with Arsenal, as you said, Club, you need that striker. Yeah, either a hold-up striker or a striker that's going to get involved with the whole game. Yeah, not just be like Haaland, where he might have one touch in the whole game, but that could be the winning goal. Same for when we had Kane. Sometimes you want those strikers, but depending on the team, those strikers don't always fit in that system. You think you get that striker with all you've got. If Martinelli can get the goals back in again, or Trossard, whoever's on the left.
See, I think Trossard is an interesting one, because again, I think he loses his spot as soon as Odegaard's fit, because he's playing. It's weird at the moment, because we kind of play both Havertz and Trossard kind of as number 10s.
Okay.
And they kind of interchange who's going to drop a little bit deeper and who's going to play the number 9. But over the last kind of 5 games, we're seeing that Trossard doesn't, he's not as consistent as when he is off the bench. Like, I know people were saying he should get started over Martinelli because he's coming off the bench and scoring goals.
Yes.
But when he starts games, he's not as deadly. He's not the same player.
I know that. Yeah, some players just do really well when they come on from the bench. Look, is it Duran?
Villa.
Yeah.
You know, he comes on, bangs in goals. He starts. He's not as good. Not as impactful. But then that's football, isn't it?
I'd also say, like, Martinelli's, like, he had a bit of a ruck at the start of the season with his confidence, but I know, like, he didn't score today, but he must love playing against Trent Alexander-Arnold, because every time we play Liverpool, he looks so sharp. And before the international break, he'd got 2-2 and an assist, so he'd started to get going again. But unfortunately, as I've said already a couple of times this season, the international break came at the wrong time for us. There's a lot of positives from the Arsenal game today, given the players that we're missing and the players that went off during the game. I'm not overly sad about a 2-2 draw.
Yeah, good result. I obviously went to Liverpool win. Just want to throw it out there. But
obviously, you wanted them. And you got to look at, like, so we're, what, 9 games in now, and we've played Tottenham away, City away, Liverpool at home, Villa away. So we've got some tough Brighton at home. We've got some tough games out of the way already.
That's only downhill from that, isn't it?
we've got Newcastle away next.
You expect to start picking up some.
We'll have William Saliba back for Chelsea, but he's going to be out of the Newcastle game. So, but yeah, any other thoughts on Arsenal, Mitchell? Anything?
I've got nothing.
Bob.
No, thank you.
Chelsea, Mitchell. A 2-1 win over Newcastle.
It's easy to predict Chelsea, let's be honest. Smashed it. I think, the other important thing besides getting the 3 points is seeing Reece James survive a whole game of football. I didn't think it was possible anymore. I can't remember the last time it happened. He was playing left back though, so maybe he's just a bit cursed in the right back position. So it sounds like Gusto's going to keep his position. It was a very good first half. I wasn't worried in the slightest. Comfortable opening 5 minutes. I thought we got a goal in the opening 4. Palmer, I mean, we're talking again a pixel offside. Ridiculous.
Offside, though, blah blah blah, Mitchell, blah blah blah. Listen, he weren't last man.
It would have been a lovely assist from my favourite striker, Jackson, who,
fucking hell,
God bless him. All right. I know I like to moan about the boy, but he had a very good game. He had a very, very good first half. He was just, he was sharp. He was turning play very, very well and putting in some good through balls. And obviously gets his finish from a beautiful, beautiful pass from Palmer. Have you seen that pass? My God, it's enough to make opposition defences retire early. It's just sickening. Beautiful. And he gets nothing.
Commentators are well up his arse, though, aren't they?
Oh, come on, though.
They did that with Foden, though, if you remember. Like, Foden was like the next best thing.
Yeah, but Foden's got nothing on Palmer.
You know, and then obviously that calmed down a bit.
Yeah, you can, you like Foden. Foden
is quality, but everyone was up his arse. And then it was like, oh, Bellingham. And then it would be the next, it would be Cole Palmer. And then it would just quiet down again. And it would be something.
Yeah, but like I said, Palmer don't get in his head because he doesn't have one. So he's fine. he'll always be quality. He was very quiet last week.
Very quiet.
Yeah, against a very good Liverpool.
Against a big team. Yeah.
See, I was going to.
Well, yeah, but is, I mean, are we saying Newcastle isn't a big team?
I mean,
yeah. I agree, they're hit and miss. But they're
for you. They're in your top four, aren't they?
they are in my top four. Yeah, slightly regretting now. I just couldn't bring myself to put Liverpool in the top four. I really don't like Liverpool. I think they're my most hated team. So I couldn't put them in there. But this week, Palmer was back, looking sharp, just whipping those balls constantly and just, he knows where everyone is. He is quality.
Normally on the pitch, right?
Oh, you'd hope so. And then they pulled one back. I mean, it was a good couple of passes from them, but you could argue Reece James and Cole Will, they need to be talking to each other because Isak is on his own. He's just trundled through both of them and it has got a little tap in. So you could argue the defence could have done a little bit better there. Then the second half, you get your Palmer finish. It was a good goal, good strike. And then it all got a little bit nervy. And Sanchez, God bless him, is doing his best to make us concede. His distribution today was fucking awful. It was abysmal. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The thing is, he's had a couple of good weeks. So I was building confidence with him.
Again, he was a bit ropey against Liverpool, wasn't he, with his distribution?
Yeah, a little bit. But today was even worse. I don't know if his confidence is not. And he had another moment. Do you know last week when he got his yellow card for clattering into someone? And then it was Liverpool's goal when he could have come out, but he bottled it because he's thinking, oh, I'm in trouble here. Very, very similar situation this week. For Isak's one-on-one, which he should have fucking done better there. But he didn't come out. He didn't come out to get the ball. So he's allowed Isak to get it. And all Isak had to do was just put it across the box because you got, I don't know who was lining up, but it was a Newcastle player lining up. And he didn't. He dallied with it and we got it away. So,
Yeah, I saw that. That's a stupid decision. He should have passed it to Longstaff.
Absolutely. Yeah, Longstaff. Yeah, he should have passed it. I'm glad he fucking didn't because at that time I'm thinking I'm on the bottom of the man versus AI. Yeah. I need
spoiler
this.
Alert. Not anymore.
Not anymore. Even then, right? So you get to the end of the game and we get a penalty and a little bit of me was like, no. I don't want 3-1. I wanted to end at 2-1, but it was rightly chalked off. Fucking, I keep saying that. I don't think it was a penalty, but it was very fucking similar. So the game against West Ham, Chelsea West Ham, and you're all screaming for a penalty. This is exactly what happened. Okay, so you're saying it was a penalty, right? But this is exactly the same what happened today. With Nkunku.
He's in the box, and he pulled his arm.
It's
exactly the same. It's a penalty.
Mate.
Well, they said
also,
it was a penalty.
Also, that is not exactly the same.
It's exactly the same. He pulled his arm.
I think
maybe
I think
it was his left arm.
The one against us was a little bit more aggressive. It's the same concept. No, I agree with that.
His hands a bit. He just. No, I'm watching it again, Mitchell, in slow motion. Yeah.
Oh, listen. You can all watch it in slow motion.
No, that's not a penalty, because if you watch it
again, I agree. I don't think it is a penalty, just the same as I didn't think the West Ham one was a penalty.
Yeah, he's made a bit of that one. But also, the goalkeeper, our English goalkeepers are shit. Like, how is he Cole Palmer's?
No. Listen, are you watching it? He's watching it in slow motion.
No, I don't watch goals in slow motion.
Turn slow motion off.
I was watching the foul in slow motion. He's hit it at near post. Actually, it's not even near post. It's literally keeper just dies for some reason.
No, yeah, he has beaten him on his near post. You're right. It was a tricky angle for Palmer, but he's struck it with a nice bit of force, and it's got that little bit of dip where it's bounced right on the line.
Fucking hell, Mitchell! The keeper should be saving that.
I don't know, mate. I think it was a good strike.
No, he should be saving that.
I agree.
Well, he didn't.
But it didn't, and you won.
But
so.
He didn't, and we won 2-1.
That's poor.
Well, I personally think it was a good strike.
It's a good strike. It's just poor goalkeeping.
You can have that, yeah. Can be a thing.
And that's fair.
No, fuck him. But yeah, so we do seem to have good first halves and then slightly panicky second halves. But overall, we were in control. We were in control of that game. And it was nice to see the defensive structure hold that lead. You know, not get too panicky and not give in to a Desmond or fucking whatever else could have happened. It was nice to keep the 2-1.
If Fizek could pass it,
I don't know what he was thinking. A moment of madness. Well, I do know what he's thinking. He's thinking, I want to score here. Because he's like, oh,
he's a greedy striker.
Yeah, he's a greedy striker. Yeah. He thinks he's done the goalkeeper. But then he's in two minds. You've got to pass that. And then we're talking a different game.
Oh, yeah.
Could you lend some of your defensive structure to West Ham at all, please? That'd be great.
Well, I've heard you've done all right today, bro.
We'll get on to that.
But yeah, I'm happy, shall we say.
Happy Chelsea fan. I've not seen any of it other than the score, so I'm not going to make any comments on it. The only thing I'll say is, again, the consistency is there for Chelsea at the moment. They are grinding out results. We're going to ask this question every week until you change your mind. Top four.
I still don't think so. I think, right, ask me that after the Arsenal game in a couple of weeks.
I'll ask you that anytime you win a game at the moment, mate.
Because, I can't remember what we've got next week, but if we win next week and then we pull something off against you boys. Are you at home?
You've got Manchester United away next week.
Right, so if we
so you've got
United,
a win there, clap.
Yeah, well.
I mean, if West Ham can do it.
Shut up, Clive.
Yeah, but they're a weird team, aren't they? They're like a West Ham this season or a Tottenham. They get these little 1-0s and then teams they should be beating, they fucking lose against. So if we beat United and we beat Arsenal, I might change my mind on top four. What's he writing at?
That is a big old gasp.
Sorry, I just...
You're watching slow motion again, aren't you?
Did you just watch Dallas miss for West Ham?
Unbelievable.
Right. We'll come to that, Luke. We'll come to that.
I'm just playing catch up on football. I've been busy today, so I've... Yeah, had a chance to watch
anything. So we'll go back to Chelsea finishing top four if they beat United and Arsenal. That's your call.
Just ask me.
If you're able to beat Arsenal, then 100%. Like, we've only lost one game this season, so I think that would, you'd probably be one of the favourites for top four at that point.
But then who's dropping out? Villa?
Aston Villa.
They're just...
God, I've got an agenda against Villa, don't I? God.
You really do. Yeah. Top of Europe. Bless them.
They are top of the Champions League. Yeah. And in the top... Are they still in the top four, or did we went above them again with the draw, didn't we?
Well, you're both on the same points, I know that.
Yeah, same points. Oh, yeah.
They've got to be, because we're fifth.
Yeah, we're third. You're fourth.
That's what I mean. So you're not dropping out of top four. City aren't dropping out of top four. Liverpool aren't dropping out of top four. Are we going to be better than Villa this season?
You haven't got a Champions League to think about.
Listen, we're in a very prestigious cup.
You're in a cup that allows you to change 11
I know.
Players.
A whole different squad. It's crazy. Like,
yeah. I mean, look, I think yous have been the biggest surprise this season so far. Like, I know obviously it's, with the squad,
yeah,
but like,
it's between them and Liverpool, because I didn't think Liverpool would come. Yeah, and again, I think fixtures have been kind to both teams, but I didn't expect Liverpool to be so seamless without Klopp.
Yeah, I think Liverpool. I do agree, as though.
I'd also chuck Villa there. Like, I'd chuck all three of them, because I thought Villa would have a massive fall off this season.
Villa.
Yeah, but to be honest, we're not that far into the Champions League and stuff now.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Only 9 games in as well, so.
Yeah, so that fall off could possibly still happen. But I think with Chelsea not having the European football, Gutted Mitchell.
They've got some European football.
Conference.
They could win the competition that you won.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah, you're massive, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not as...
Champions of Europe. You
know, is it not prestigious now, Bob? Is it a shit?
No. What I mean is it's not as... It's not as maybe.
Luke, I don't know why you're laughing. You'd fucking bite anyone's left nut for it. You'd suck their left nut for it.
Know.
Imagine all the DVDs.
It's the Carling Cup of Europe. You're telling me you would be happy about winning the Carling Cup, you're a liar.
They didn't do some weird COVID shit, yeah?
We're not even going to go. No, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. If they did some weird COVID shit,
we'll leave that alone, boys.
We will leave that alone. any other Chelsea chat?
Your boy's on 6 out of 9 now, isn't he? Your main man,
Nicholas Jackson. Yeah, he's another goal today, wasn't it?
Is he finally our top goal scorer yet? Because I think it's still Nkunku.
No, I think it's Palmer, isn't it? Because he got
I thought it was Kyle Palmer. Oh, yeah, 4 goals in one game.
Like, I think in all competitions, it is actually Nkunku.
That's because he plays in the fisherman's fucking.
That prestigious.
Clive, watch him out there.
No, I was very impressed with Jackson today. And like I said, listen, I don't hate him. I just think he's not as good as he could be. That was always been my argument, right?
No. Yes, listen to the start of this podcast, the first episode of this podcast.
Okay,
there was nothing but hate for him. Yeah, but
and I said, I'll give him a season. I said, this is his last chance. And he's winning.
How did Lavia play? Because
he got an assist, didn't he?
Did he?
I thought he did.
Neto got the first one.
Yeah, no, he did get a second assist, yeah. Because he's still not had a run of games yet, has he?
Because he was out for a while. To be honest with you, I don't remember seeing much of him.
Which is what you want from a defensive midfielder, if we're honest. Like,
I don't know what's going on with Enzo.
He's racist, but other than that,
yeah, but he made him captain when he was racist, so
who knows. It's Chelsea way.
Yeah, shut up, Clive.
Bored people for racism.
You're right. If you don't hear much of him, he's doing something right. But I think that's more Caicedo than anything else. Caicedo really has grown into his role.
I was just looking at your subs as well today. Like,
there was a lot.
You didn't want to bring Sancho on or Felix?
Felix was quite surprising, but I can understand. I always say his name wrong. Murdyke.
He got a goal and two assists.
He played very well in Europe. I'm surprised James stayed on for the full game, but he did. Who did we bring on? Cucurella.
A lot of yellow cards again for you as well.
A lot of yellow cards. Yeah. And what's his face? Was it Carl Will? Got the 6th yellow card, so he's got a 1-match ban.
It doesn't show that he's got a yellow card on BBC.
Maybe it wasn't
Fofana.
Maybe it was Fofana.
Lavia, Neto.
It was probably Fofana.
Medawake,
come on.
And Nkunku. I'm assuming Nkunku took his shirt off when he thought he scored or something.
No, it was a silly one. What was it for? I can't remember. Sanchez got booked for fucking time wasting. Jesus Christ. Dark Arts.
Yeah, so did Raya. So.
Dirty bastards.
West Ham at Manchester United then, Bob.
Well, you fucking take it away, Clive. You was there, mate, weren't you?
I did go. And I will say you should have been 4-0 down in the first half. Mate, at least. Could have been 5-0.
That first half was... It reminded me of the Chelsea game in terms of how bad we were playing.
I didn't get his lineup either. Like,
no.
Why did he drop... to what's your defender name? Tadebo
and bring on Mavropanos. I have no idea. I have no idea why he done that.
Like your left winger situation as well. Obviously, Kudus is banned. Who was the player who was playing there? Was he a left winger or is it a defensive midfielder playing out there?
Well, Soler. So yeah. I think Soler started off.
He did, yeah, that's right.
He's more of a central midfielder, but I think he can play there. But I mean, I don't understand why you wouldn't start Somerville. He's looked pretty good. And I thought...
He changed the game.
Yeah, I mean, he massively changed the game when he came on. But I thought with Kudus being out, this would be kind of the prime time to start him in the Premier League. But obviously, he's decided against it for some reason. I have no idea why. Looked absolutely flat the first half. Again, I don't know how many times I'm going to say that this season. But yeah, so the first half was
obviously some guy I noticed as well. And like, again... People will think I've got an agenda against Wan-Bissaka. I don't. He was very, very good with the ball going forward. He was your best attacking player in the first half and for the start of the second half, which is a massive problem if your best attacking player is your right back.
Well,
but he was doing that so much.
Yep.
Garnacho had so much. The outball was there much.
But teams know. Teams know going into that game is the same against Chelsea. It's the same against Spurs. They know.
You hit that channel. As soon as we get that ball, hit that channel.
Yeah. Get down there and run at them because Wan-Bissaka is not going to make it back. So why are we not doing something? Why are we not, you know, getting
like your defensive midfielder doesn't get over there? It was just every time. I don't know why United didn't continue in the second half. Like, I don't know if Garnacho ran out of steam or something.
Yeah.
It was just, like I said it to the guys I went with. I saw every single time they get the ball, that's the pass they're going to make. Because he was like, again, you needed something going forward. Like the ball was not sticking to Antonio's feet whatsoever.
No.
Like Bowen was like he wasn't even playing. You didn't have anything down the left-hand side either.
I think and Antonio, what was really frustrating with him is he was putting a shift in again, and he was getting the ball a fair amount in the channels, but his final product just weren't.
But there's nothing in the middle.
Because
he's coming out so wide, like you'd expect Bowen to go in or your left midfielder if Antonio's gone out that position.
But even if there was someone in the middle, he was just kind of floating it in half-assed.
There was one or two balls he played in that you think if he's in the centre, he's going to cause a defender something to think about. But
yeah, I mean, it seemed a little bit dishevelled again. Like I still don't know. Like I was saying last week, I'm just confused by what we're doing. And like you rightly said, Clive, we could have easily been 3 or 4 nil down in the first half. I mean, we should have been at least 1-0 down.
Hello,
as you heard.
Yeah. But what I will say about that goal, I'm not sure. I haven't seen it again, to be fair, but he could have been offside, I think. They didn't mention it, though. But...
I don't know. I just... When he rounded the goalkeeper, I was like, oh, that's one. What happened?
Just blasted it over the top. And there's no reason for it. He had all the time in the world. Like, he could have easily just placed that, really.
There was nothing. Like, he could have just side foot that in. But you had one defender busting a gut to try and make the angle.
Kill
him,
wasn't it?
It should have been a goal.
Definitely. And I mean, like I say, even if it wasn't even if it was offside, it's still inexcusable.
Just watching it again, I think he was. Yeah.
Like, yeah. On that, obviously, Areola kind of, he was on the bench, wasn't he, Areola?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you started, Fabianski had a decent game.
He
made one very, very good stop down to his left as well.
Yeah, it was the header, wasn't it? I can't remember who actually done the header, but yeah, it was a great save. But yeah, the first half was just absolutely tragic again. And I feel like I might as well just record myself saying this and just play it in every episode, because I'm pretty sure I'll be saying it every single time. But the second half, I think we looked a lot better. I think
three changes at half time.
Paqueta again, he just looked a little bit clumsy. Like there wasn't much happening.
Like I was saying to the guys, like, to have a player like him, you need to be playing in the opposition half.
Yeah.
And you just didn't in the first half. Like, there was no, you couldn't string three passes together. Like, you didn't give any of your attacking players any chances whatsoever.
But then I do think at the same time, even when he did get the ball, he was making stupid mistakes. And like, I know that obviously a part of it is what people are doing around him, but he just hasn't looked up to it this season so far. And I'm sure he will. But I mean, we saw the difference when he got taken off at halftime. And I will say, I think our midfield looks so much better when Suchek's in it. I think he just needs to start. I don't know why we're not playing.
The problem I kind of see with that is you'd then be playing three defensive midfielders, right?
We fucking need it at the moment with our fucking back four. The one
thing that like was question marks around us was why isn't Summerfield getting a chance to start that game, number one, and like number two, he lit the place up, and it was just through attacking, just running with the ball.
Yeah.
The first half, you didn't have any of that. Like, Bowen wasn't getting on the ball. He wasn't running at people. Like, the only player that you had doing that was fucking Wan-Bissaka again.
Yeah.
But as soon as Summerfield got on, he got lucky a couple times with the ball. The ball just, it got there just before the United player, or it hit off the United player and went straight in his path.
But it's creating
you make
your own
luck. Yeah. You make your own luck at that point. And he just looked... He looked sharp. He looked a threat as soon as he was on the pitch.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree. I think he got player of the match, to be fair, and he definitely
did in the stadium.
It.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, for me, it was between him, Wan-Bissaka, funnily enough, and Fabianski.
Yeah,
because although I criticised Wan-Bissaka, he still did a lot of work and a lot of good work.
Yeah, he did, but But the criticism of Wan-Bissaka, I don't even necessarily think it's Wan-Bissaka's fault. Like, I think there's obviously a game plan there that we want him to get forward. It's not his fault if
no one's covering him.
Yeah, if we've not got the cover there.
If he's told you are going to take the ball, you're going to bring it forward. Like, his final product needs work, but that's why United got rid of him, right? Because he wasn't good enough for the final ball. Like, they're crying out for an actual right back that can defend, but
yeah,
apparently they didn't want that in Wan-Bissaka anymore.
I think stuff like that, I mean, as long as he's running forward, we should have plenty of other players around him where even if he gets the ball up the pitch and can pass it to someone that maybe is going to create something. Like,
certainly if you're playing two defensive midfielders as well, you've got the players that can go across the pitch at that point.
That's what I mean. It's confusing. Obviously we won today, but I feel so conflicted about it because
their goal as well, it was three headers in your box. There was no challenge on any of the headers. How is that? How? I don't get it.
But what I don't get with our defence is that you would hope, because I kind of excused it earlier on in the season. I think it was obvious that we were trying to find what works in our defence. But we're 9 games in now and we still don't know. Like, for me, I feel like I know. I feel like Todibo just needs to replace Mavropanos. Like, I just feel like that needs to happen.
You've got three players there that are first choice, right? You've got Wan-Bissaka, Kilman, Todibo, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
But your left back then, I don't know who your first choice left back would be.
Well, I do like Emerson. I think he is good. I mean, it's a choice between him, Creswell, and... Well, that's about it, really. Sometimes they've played Wan-Bissaka on the left if we want to play Soufal on the right. But I don't think we want to confuse it too much. Just stick with Emerson, Todibo, and Kilman. But the problem is, if you're changing it every week, then they're not going to...
Yeah, partnerships don't form. Yeah.
Yeah. So a decision needs to be made. And that was just such a weird decision to, after starting Todibo a couple of times now, just to bring Mavropanos back into the mix. Such a weird decision. Having said that, we won today against Man United. Fuck you, Robert.
Yeah, Henry. I mean, let's talk about the penalty. That should never in a million years have been a penalty.
Yeah. Ball comes in. I mean, absolute lethal challenge from De Ligt. is lucky he's not been arrested or something, to be honest with you.
No one in the crowd at the time thought anything of it. It was like, okay, cleared the ball, ball's gone out. Like, I think it took like maybe 30 seconds to a minute for the ball to go out. Then like the referee said, let's stop play. And then he's run over to his screen. Now, the one thing I will say is the United players and the United bench were outrageous. They were trying to get in the referee's ear. The Lino had no interest in stopping them either. It was just letting De Ligt have a good old shout at the referee. Like, and then even with the actual penalty, like, he's awarded the penalty now. He's gone and had a look. He said it is a penalty. They are still crowding him and shouting at him, and like for a good minute, 2 minutes.
I fucking would be too.
Like, yeah, no, don't get me wrong. Like, yeah, they do have a right to feel aggrieved by it, but why is the referee allowing that to happen? Stop booking players and telling them to go away. All right, yeah, book one of them and say, get out of my face. I've given the penalty now. Go away.
I see why he's giving it.
What, the penalty?
I'm just watching it.
Are you doing slow motion again?
I am, mate. I'm just watching it now. He does swipe his leg, but he's so...
Oh, it's menacing.
It's soft. It's soft.
Yeah, yeah. Don't get wrong. It's like, if that was against Tottenham, I'd be fuming.
But I think as well, it's the fact that it wasn't given.
You love saying that. That is like, oh yeah, it's probably not a red card, but if it was against Tottenham, I'd be fuming. Like, it's definitely a catchphrase.
It's true, though.
But that's what I'm saying, right? It wasn't given at the time, and because it's so minuscule, why is VAR
going to
tell the ref? Exactly that. But then even the ref then goes to look at the monitor, and surely just trust yourself.
All you need to do is watch that once again. Like, yeah. If you don't see it after one rewatch, it's not clear and obvious. Get on with the game.
Yeah.
Like they should bring in times kind of like, there's no good, like, it's not clear and obvious if you're analysing it for 3 minutes.
I just don't think that the ref should even have to go look at the screen. Right?
I agree. I think you have the balls for the VAR to say, referee, you've got it wrong, it's a penalty. Okay. Yeah. I trust you, you've got the replays, you've watched them 3 or 4 times, it's a penalty. Yeah. Why give the referee, like, because you're already, like, if you're going to say, yeah, but it's subjective, and then, like, you've got two different opinions refereeing the game, you've got two different opinions as soon as he goes and watches it for a second time anyway, initial opinion, and then the replayed opinion. So
that's what, like, it's taken away from the referee reffing the game, as we've talked about before. Like, it's taken away from that, because if they're getting him back over to the screen to look at it, then it's kind of re-justifying his decision. Like, either go with the on-field or say, look, you fucked up.
Yeah,
but I'm not allowing it.
It's the same as it's always been. The minute they're called to the monitor, already in their heads, they're going, I must have got this wrong.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to change my mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be brave enough to say, I didn't give it at the time. I still don't think that's a penalty.
There's so many things. Like, I've never been a fan of VAR. Like, I've said the only technology we should bring into the game is goal line technology and automated offsides. Two things that work. Two things that you can rely on technology as long as they fucking turn it on. You can rely on it, right? But because football is so subjective and rules are, you can interpret them in different ways, they're not black and white, you can't have other referees watching the game because you're just going to add extra opinions to it. Yeah. Like, and if you do absolutely want to go down that route, let's have the fucking conversation played to the crowd and to the Sky TV fucking viewers. Like they do like for they rugby. Do
with the rugby, yeah.
Like, what, if you're so sure that your guys are getting it right 98% of the time, mic them up. Fucking, that's like, I mean, they're mic'd up. Turn the mics on for everyone to hear.
But it was like that leaked mics coverage from, I can't remember the decision last season. It was chaotic.
Oh, the, yeah.
All talking over the each
Liverpool,
other.
Liverpool Tottenham game, wasn't it? As
yeah,
a goal.
Yeah.
The goal that wasn't a goal.
So it just, I don't know how they're running it. It's just.
The clowns. Like, yeah, clowns. And that's, you're right. Like, they need to have, right, you've got the VAR. If the VAR gets involved, it is only the head VAR fucking guy talking to the referee. No assistant referee gets involved at that point. None of the other little minions get involved. None of the linos. They cut their noise off and they go one-on-one, right, explain to me why you're telling me to watch this again.
Yeah.
Too many chefs, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, we. Like, I think I've seen, and it was Michael Oliver who was VAR today, right, for the West Ham decision.
It was,
Michael Oliver turns around and says, I think you've got the wrong ref. I can see such and such has kicked such and such, which you've probably missed. All right, show me the replay. Yeah, okay, he has kicked him. Yeah, I think it's a penalty. You're right. Like, but you don't, as you said, Bob, you don't need, like, either trust the VAR referee or trust the referee. Don't fucking have both ways. Like, if the VAR's there, don't have another monitor. Go, he's got it wrong.
And don't take 3 minutes if it's clear and obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clear and obvious. It's not like, it's never going to be clear and obvious. It's taking fucking 4 minutes to make a decision.
No, but at least it's happened against United, right? Yeah,
that's one blessing.
Yeah, because the amount of times I've had Fergie time and shit happened at Old Trafford, and they get
my hatred for VAR and the English officials runs deeper than my hatred for United at the moment. I don't fucking care.
But
I want all the officials to be fucking held responsible.
It was in favour of West Ham today, and today you was a West Ham supporter, Clive. So let's all be happy. Let's all be happy. But yeah, I just have such a strange feeling after that game. We shouldn't have won, really.
No, you always need to win, mate.
I mean, we always need to win, but we just hardly ever do at the moment.
Top teams, I'm saying this now, Bob, the top teams.
West Ham?
Yeah, I'm just saying West Ham, they're massive, yeah. But the top teams sometimes win games like that. You know, it happens. Man City do it, Arsenal do it, Tottenham do it, Chelsea not so much. You know, they win games like that.
I am not sure I have seen a team perform, other than actually, I think maybe Wolves against, do you remember when they played Chelsea early on this season and they looked absolutely dreadful?
You mean Brown?
I'm not sure I've seen a worse performance from another football team as bad as West Ham played in that first half today.
West Ham against Chelsea?
Well, that's what I mean. I don't think I've seen a worse team than West Ham in terms of some of their performances in the first halves.
Are we still Lopetegui out?
And what do you mean? Are we still Lopetegui out? I'm not. I wasn't Lopetegui out in the first place.
No, I know. But because of our conversation last week, there's
rumours of Mourinho
games.
Coming in as well.
I saw that.
You take Mourinho over Lopetegui, wouldn't you?
Or would you take him right now? If someone offered you Mourinho right now, would you take him?
Nope.
Oh, you fucking liar!
Right answer.
No, you fucking liar!
Right answer, Bob.
Oh, come on! What? You're having Mourinho over Lopetegui all day long.
Right. So at the start of this podcast starting, so like episode one, we got asked, what would you be happy with points-wise after 10 games? Yeah?
Yeah.
And I said, I'd be very happy with 15, right? After 9, we're on 11. So if we win against Forest, we're on 14.
You won't beat Forest.
Forest is a big game for you guys now.
It's a big game, and they've been playing well. But we'll get to what I'm going to predict anyway, because you know, whatever. But I don't think, given the games that we've had, and like I said, we've still only lost against teams that we consider as top six teams. So I still don't think
I understand.
It's been that bad of a start, but yes, we have had bad performances. Before you start saying all that,
but even like, look at your reaction today. You feel weird about this win, and I agree with you because all right, you've got the win, you've got the 3 points, but the performance is still not there. It's almost like he still doesn't know his system. He doesn't know what he's doing.
He definitely doesn't know.
He doesn't. But even then, right, you get rid of him, bring in another manager. Yeah.
Mourinho.
He's still got the same players to deal with.
Yeah, but Mourinho is such a...
But that's when coaching does come into it. Not just influence, coaching. Like, you've got to start showing that he's coaching these players to do what he wants. Like, it's one of the things with Arteta is he, like, you can tell the players have become better under him because he's coaching them. Like, he's putting his ideas in their head. He's showing them what he wants them to do. Like, is Lopetegui that guy? Like,
I think it's too early on for me. I think when we play well, we play really well.
For like against, minutes.
Well, I mean, if it's going to win us games, then I don't really give a shit, to be honest with you.
Well, like today.
Well, I mean, it's still 3 points against United.
I do understand what you're saying, yeah, but it's just, I don't know. It just doesn't seem right.
I mean, like I said, at the start of this, I said I'd be very happy with 15 points, and I thought I was stretching at 15 points. If we ended up on 14, if we beat Forest next weekend, we end up with 14 after 10 games. I think every West Ham fan's got to be happy with that.
With a
broken system at the moment.
With no identity on how you're playing.
Because that's the thing. Is it?
Not playing the West Ham way, boys.
Yeah, you don't know where it's going.
Get rid of Moyes for it.
Right, no one knows what the fucking West Ham way is, right? No one knows. Even I saw an interview with David Moyes and he was like, I have no idea what the West Ham way is, right?
That's why he's gone.
Yeah. But I mean, for me, it's still too early to be saying, because what happens if we do switch on, you know? And we might do. We need to give him some time. We're not a toxic club.
Again,
we
have a bad couple of
run of results and then sack the manager. That's Chelsea.
We get trophies.
So do West Ham. So
well,
we got a trophy. And you got Luke?
you do know we've actually won more trophies than West Ham, so don't even go there, Bob.
Yeah.
But overall, that's why I don't even compare to Chelsea and Arsenal when it comes to trophies, because I always lose a battle. But if you're giving it there to Tottenham, don't go there. All right.
In your lifetime. Well,
Luke, oh, yeah, what was the result last weekend?
The Tottenham one?
Yeah.
Can't remember now. It was so far away. We won. That's all it matters.
Last weekend. You can't remember how you got on.
I was so elated. I just forgot.
How did West Ham get on last weekend, Bob?
I don't remember that. I was so elated,
I don't want to throw shade any more than I did last week, because we all know it bit me in the arse this week. So
and with that, move on?
Oh yes, please, Clive, let's move on.
Oh dear, cheers. Yeah, I bet you guys have been waiting for this one, haven't you?
Another London derby. Tottenham, another positive result, no doubt.
How many games have Palace won before today?
Fuck off. I knew you were going to say this. Yeah,
Bob, let me check, Bob.
Yeah,
none. They hadn't won one game.
It was funny. It was going to be Tottenham, though, wasn't it? Let's be honest. It always happens to Tottenham. It's like, oh, a player hasn't scored in 10 years, come back from injury, gets his leg chopped off and still hobbles around and scores against Tottenham. That's just the way it's
weird. The one disappointing thing about it wasn't Eddie Nketiah that scored. Like, that is the only thing that could have made that result better.
He didn't even start, did he?
I don't know, not even checked.
I think Mateta started in front of him. Yeah.
Good job, because he got a winning goal, didn't he?
Yeah.
So go on, Luke, take it away.
I missed the game because I was busy. But it wasn't even on TV anyway. I watched the highlights, and typical Tottenham, like typical Tottenham. They were very physical by the looks of things. We just couldn't compete against them in that area. We just let them play their game of football. We just sat back. It's the Tottenham thing again. It's just I don't know. I don't know what happens. Like 1 week we can dominate possession. Well, most of the games this season we've been dominating possession and looking good. And then another game we just switch off. I can't even. And from what the fans were saying, is that the players look tired. I'm like, that can't be possible, because
we played Thursday night.
We played, you know, like we swapped 9 players, Clive. Like there's literally no excuse from Thursday night to today.
Oh, little Mickey Moore started as well.
Yeah. Son's out and Werner can't finish and his confidence is shot to shit, I think, ever since Chelsea. So I don't know what Chelsea did to him. Fucking out of time. Brainwashed him or done something to him. I don't know. Tottenham, that's a loss. You know, it's Tottenham. It's Spurs.
That's again. A massive loss, Luke.
That's horrific. It's a terrible loss.
How'd you go from beating a top club like West Ham 4-1?
Massive.
They obviously wanted it more, and they're fighting to stay up already this early in the season. And
you're fighting for top four.
We're fighting for
not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore, mate.
How many games you won away from home this season?
I want to say 2.
1, I think.
We'll just stick with 2. All right, it sounds better. 1. All right, it sounds better. Clive, it sounds better.
Shall we have a little look?
Yeah, if you want. I think it's 2.
Pretty sure in the league, I'm pretty sure it's 1. Maybe in Europe.
Oh, we haven't lost in Europe.
Exactly. Let's have a look. Leicester away, you drew.
Yeah.
Who else have you played away from home this season?
Clive.
Man United, where they won 3-0.
There you go.
So that's
I'm sure we beat another team away.
I don't think you have. Yeah, it's 1.
There's a big old problem right there for you.
There you go. See, terrible. Yeah.
4th loss of the season already.
Yeah, it's not good.
And you're not.
You've not, it's like the realisation is dawning on him.
I mean, I don't know what you want from me. Do you know what I mean? I was so happy last week.
You've not played City, Chelsea, Liverpool, Villa. Oh mate, this season's gonna be fucking glorious for you boys.
It's gonna be glorious for you guys, isn't it? Really, for this fucking podcast. Oh dear, don't. What's frustrating me is the Leicester game.
You got Villa next.
We should have won. The Arsenal game, we should have won. The Brighton game, we should have won.
The fucking Palace game, you should have won.
The Palace game.
You'd have been a point behind us.
No. I'm not going to go to the Palace game. From what I've read from the fans and what I've seen from the clips and stuff, I can safely say that we probably didn't deserve to win that game.
No, but regardless of how you know, play, going into it
on paper, yeah, on paper,
that's a must win. That should be an easy win.
Okay, but who thought this weekend, that Man City was only going to smash? Well, not even they didn't smash. Who thought they were going to smash Southampton this weekend? Like you could bet your house and they were going to smash Southampton, but they only won 1-0.
Yeah, according to Pep, Southampton are one of the best football playing teams in the Premier League.
I mean, he's got to say that, isn't he? You know, because they only beat him 1-0 when everyone was expecting
to smash
him. Yeah,
Southampton let us play football.
Yeah.
We like them.
So it's football's a strange thing. And you said it, Mitchell, consistency.
It's a myth.
You know, it's a myth. And Tottenham I'm waiting for all of the sports channels and stuff tomorrow as to what they say about Tottenham and the Palace game. And yes, you could say it's a London derby, and derbies are always different, but not Crystal Palace. We should be beating Palace.
Is it just Tottenham without Son?
No,
because with Son, something seems to click.
Oh yeah. He just offers more. But it's not just Son, because we've lost games like that with Son in the team. You know, it's just Tottenham. Look, the Clive. I know you mentioned earlier on. I think just before, it might have in the beginning of the podcast or at the end. I think before we started it about the what's his name, our right back Porro missing the ball. But I'm not annoyed with that, because he attempted to get the ball. I'm annoyed with Romero's pass. Football, mate, growing up playing football, what don't you do at football? plat across your fucking box.
Yeah, no,
you lose to Palace, but you don't plat across your box. Yeah,
it is very different football from when we were growing up. No,
Clive,
you've got to be able to play it at the back.
I get that, but he's played it in the air, slow, not quick. He's played it in the air, slow. Van de Ven has also let the ball come down in front of him because obviously he's running a bit more on his pace and stuff, and he gets a shit fucking kick on it. It's not even a kick; he miskicks it, and the player gets it.
Van de Ven miskicked it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's world class, though, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he's. I didn't say no. I never said he was world class before.
You said he was knocking on the door, didn't you?
Yeah, I said no. I don't think I even said that. I think he's a good defender. But if I did, yeah, he's knocking on the door. But no. And then the cross comes in, and then they score. And yes, Porro's gone to try and get it. He's missed it, and okay, it all adds up. But that ball across the box from Romero, he should not be doing that. Not when there's like two other players there. And it's not a pinpoint perfect ball. You just don't do that. That's football in general, Clive. If you're going to do that, you do it with pace and dead on to the player, not a shit ball like that. So yeah, I'm frustrated with that. And obviously Van der Ven's missed it as well. But it was like the game, not the following week, the week before that, the Brighton game, when Bentancur didn't get the ball out or try and challenge.
Never highlight at Tottenham this season.
And then your doggy did the same thing, miskicked the ball. It's just this little fucking... We're hurting ourselves all the time. And then teams can just shut shop against us because we're just finding it so hard to break teams down when they sit back. We just don't have a solution to it.
Who's to blame? Is it Ange?
To that point, as well...
The mistakes.
Before we get to Ange, percentage-wise, the possession you had, you dominated possession.
Yep.
But shots,
yeah.
They've had more shots than you. They've had more shots on target than you.
Yep.
You had more block shots.
That's to be expected. So let him shoot.
And looking at your subs as well, obviously James Maddison didn't last 90 minutes again.
Nope.
Bentancur hasn't started for maybe reasons because he's obviously had a big injury last season and maybe managing him a little bit.
He played 2-3 games on the trot and he looked good, but he looked tired against that Brighton game and I think he hasn't started since.
Kulusevski only lasted
60. That's another Cliver, isn't it?
Yeah, Kulusevski, Clive. You call him Kulu if you want.
No.
Just put
and then in. Like Mickey Moore, 62 minutes. So I won't lie. I watched a little bit of your game midweek, and he looked good.
Left. He did.
But you're playing against Farmers in a Farmers competition.
I agree. I 100% agree with Clive. And it's a step up for your one.
Is he ready? Is he ready to?
No, he's not. And I was shocked. I was shocked when I know the fans were calling it, and you could just already sense it. It's like the Trossard one, Clive. When Trossard come on. He got the goal. It was Tottenham, wasn't it? I think he scored against Tottenham. Whoever it was, he comes on.
Gabriel scored against.
Sorry, not Gabriel. Trossard last season. You know what I'm talking about. Trossard come on, got his goal, and the fans are crying for him to start. He then starts the next game. It's that whole thing. As Mickey Moore looked really good, and he looked lively, and the fans were calling it. Son's obviously injured. Werner's confidence shot the shit. Odebert's just come back from injured, so he won't be starting. So then, yeah. What option do we have? We have this youngster to play. Obviously, I've not seen him in that game because they didn't really show much in the highlights. But it's just like
the step up, because Arsenal have got Ethan Nwaneri, right? That the fans are asking if he should be starting every single game at the moment because Odegaard's not fit. And he's 17 years old. He does look like he's got a bit about him. Anytime he comes on. But why would you chuck a 17-year-old in unless he is 1,000% ready to be chucked into the Premier League? Why would you put that pressure on it?
Unless Ange thinks he... Like I said, I don't know his performance, Clive. I'll have to look at what the fans said, the people that have been at the game, to at least have a look at his... have an opinion on his performance. He looked good during the week.
During the week, he only looked good when he went over to the left side.
Only to
the
left side,
he had a very quiet.
Yes, first half. Exactly that. Yeah, so I think some players it's better for the India. What they call them, in forwards, and they are inside wingers.
Yeah, they're cutting on
there. Yeah, that's what they do nowadays, and which is fine, and it works well for those sort of players. But I'm just frustrated that like the squad that we've got, and against Palace, who haven't won a game, he was probably thinking that it's probably a good opportunity to play him, because obviously Werner's not looking good and Son's injured. And I can get that, but I would have thought maybe playing, getting him on when we have a home game.
Yeah, when you've got maybe a 2-0 lead. I was going to say comfortable, but not with Spurs. But yeah, well, maybe when you've got a bit of a lead and you can then, there's not as much pressure on him to perform, right?
Yeah, agreed. But look, it's another Tottenham thing. And yes, it's Mitchell, to your question with Ange, whose fault is it? The mistakes, the players. The players' mistake in the game. You can't blame Ange for like Van de Ven, who's at the moment is our best defender. He makes a mistake, which is going to drop him. You can't. He makes a mistake. Or Romero crossing across the box, who's been made, we've been a fault for like three or four mistakes. Yes, I would drop Romero and put Dragosin on, just because the amount of mistakes he makes, has made this season. So yes, in that instance, maybe get Romero off and put Dragosin on. But yeah, Ange for the subs and stuff like that. Like, I don't know why.
To argue against that though, like Dragosin, like he started what, two games for you this season? Like both in, he couldn't have even started two games for you, right? One of the games he did start, he got sent off. So, like you say about mistakes, can you, like, does Ange trust him?
Clive.
Romero's a World Cup winner as well.
Yeah, he's a World Cup winner, Clive. But and I say this all the time with any player. I don't give a shit about their name. I don't give a shit about their stats. If a player's not playing well...
Unless it's aerial drills.
Yeah, well, it's obviously aerial drills. And Dragosin's going to win those aerial drills because he's a fucking unit. But if a player's playing shit, you drop him, Clive. I don't give a shit, World Cup winner. You drop him. Or you just keep playing. And that's what happens with all clubs. That's why some of the big teams win.
So Dominic Solanke at the moment, would you drop him?
No, his work rate. For a striker like him, and if
Richarlison's coming back.
Richarlison's coming back for fitness. So, he won't be starting for a little while yet until his fitness comes up. But with Solanke, his work rate off the ball is really, really good. He put a lovely ball through to Johnson on the right, Johnson into Kulusevski, but then Kulusevski just a shit shot. But that could have been a goal just from his play there. Even the game against West Ham, I think he was involved in one of the goals from his challenge as well. He's a striker that I like because he will run straight into that box as well. And that's what was missing from Kane. But obviously Kane will just finish from anywhere. So different strikers. But at the moment, I'm liking Solanke. Okay, I'm not getting that 20 goal season striker vibe with him just yet, but his work rate is looking good. And if players around him are scoring, then until things start clicking at the moment, soon, if things start clicking soon, we may start seeing that. But the jury's out on that one, mate. I don't know.
Do you think you're playing to his strengths at the moment? Because remembering him at, it was Bournemouth, though, was that before, Bournemouth, wasn't
yeah.
it? A lot of his finishes were kind of very much in the box, from crosses, right place, right time, kind of thing. Is he getting lots of opportunities like that for Spurs in the way that you're currently playing?
Or is he doing too much work outside of the box?
I think a lot of teams are shutting shop. So yes, he's having to do a bit more. A bit more work instead of us crossing the ball in as much as I hoped we would have. It's a strange one, that, because the games I've watched him in is that, and the games that he has scored has been a few tap-ins, isn't it? Like a header and stuff from like corners or set pieces and stuff like that. Which is his bag. And for Tottenham, the thing is, when you've got Werner, who's rapid, when you've got Johnson, who's rapid, and you've got, or Son is quick, obviously not as quick as he used to be, but he's still quick nonetheless. And you've got those players that are running off the ball. You're going to be using them to get behind, and that's how we want to play. But if teams are shutting shop, then yes, we should be crossing those balls in, but we're not doing that. We still want to play that lovely football, passing 1-2 through the middle, and it looks all pretty. But sometimes you just need to pump those balls in the box and get those headers on.
What would be interesting to know as well, obviously it's going to be after the fact of the podcast tonight, is, again, you're 1-0 down.
Yep.
You're taking Madison off 62nd minute to bring Richarlison on.
Don't.
You're swapping a defensive midfielder for a defensive midfielder. Yep. You're taking Kulusevski for a defensive midfielder. Yeah.
Clive, don't, mate.
Where's the goal coming from?
Honestly, don't. I have no answer for you.
Listen, I'm a 1-0 loss is better than a 2-0 loss. that is the Spurs way.
Mate, it makes a big difference.
I am looking at the bench as well. And to be fair, he's brought on the two attacking players in Richarlison and Timo Werner.
Yeah.
I can't see it. Oh, you got Gray and Bergwijl on the bench, but I think you said Bergwijl's just coming back from an injury or like.
He picked up a little knock, but yeah, he's not ready for Premier League yet.
So, like, well, yeah, fucking bonkers.
Yeah, a team we don't have. As I was talking about Arsenal and your injuries and in looking at January transfer market, and you said you've got players that can just cover and go in, but for Tottenham it's like, well, at the moment we've got youngsters there, which is great. I'm not complaining. It's nice to see those youngsters on the bench, but he's come out and gone. If he didn't come out this season and go, I always win trophies in my second season, you know, if he didn't say that, and I'd be like, okay, fuck me, look, we're getting close to top four, we're challenging, we're looking good, the youngsters are playing, we can see it from the Spurs, our football's great, we're finishing. I mean, I think we still scored one of the highest team scoring, I think, this season, so it's not like we're not scoring goals, we're just conceding just as many as we're scoring. You'd have to talk to Ange. I can't go through his head. Sometimes he tends to be more reactive. The two games before this, the West Ham game and the game midweek, he made two subs. He took Maddison off at half time. Mm-hmm. And that made a difference. And the same for when he took. No, did he take Maddison? No, Maddison off. That was half time for West Ham, wasn't it? He took him off.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he made. Who did he take? He took Werner off at half time. On the midweek game, and it looked really good for Tottenham the way, because he could see it. But the Crystal Palace game, he got stubborn again.
He's so naive. I said it before, he's naive. Don't get me wrong, there's a chance that you win the Europa League this year, and then he's right, like, he has won a trophy in his second season. Other than that, I don't give you a chance in any other competition. You got City in the Carling Cup midweek.
Yep.
Don't see you winning that.
I see us winning that.
You see us. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I see us beating them. I mean, if he says what he does what he says, and he plays a weakened team, which we all know that's still a team better than Tottenham.
He's like Pep will play a weakened. Like, it's still not a weak squad though.
Won't be. It'll still be like Foden, Grealish.
And old Ange said, "What did he say? Oh, I'll play a team that I think is going to win the match, mate."
Yeah. Let's don't do an Australian accent again, Clive.
I'll try not to.
Oh dear. I at home as well, we have got a decent record, and touch wood, it doesn't bite me in the ass for saying that. And they beat us last time at home.
So
I'm confident.
I'm
confident from my perspective. Now, obviously, results always
seem different. I want a lovely little voice note in the WhatsApp group on Wednesday when you go out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is this a Luke special 100% win?
No, it doesn't sound 100% to me. It's Man City. Look, I just see ourselves...
Just wanted to check.
I just see ourselves beat Man City at home in this cup that they won't take as serious as other cups. And I'm hoping they give us, it's Tottenham's time to win, so we can just...
I kind of agree with you, Luke. See it myself. Because you're so... up and down, you'd be so shit today, and then you'll just go and sneak a little 1-0. City won't turn up, they don't really care about it. I can see it.
All right, well,
as crazy as it is, I can see it.
I don't see it, but anyone else want to dob in on Tottenham whilst they've got a chance?
You don't need to dob on Tottenham, mate. I'll do it myself.
I've enjoyed myself.
I'm not surprised since last week where
let him have his moment.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we let him have his moment.
Thank you.
We let him have his moment.
I love that. I didn't get any messages about the podcast name or anything like that, or anything like the week. It was just silently released. Just silently released.
Mike wanted to title it something to do with Spurs, and I said, I absolutely not put Spurs in the title. Thank you very much. I'll pick a title.
Didn't
this week,
even
don't
consult
you worry.
With the rest of us. Hey? Nope. Look at that.
It was between let me have my moment or whatever it was. And
what did you
Bob saying, I think, what was his sentence, Bob? The week that nobody wanted.
Yeah.
Those are the two episode titles that I fought off. So
what did you go with?
Let me have this moment, or let me have the moment, or whatever it was.
Yeah, this week would be moment over.
Who knows? Who knows? Shall we move on to Man versus AI then?
AI,
I'm tired. It's been a long old week. Man versus AI question mark. Dave, do you know his?
Boop, 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 boop. Oh, and hit the jazz.
That's a good one.
Right, so who we got? Newcastle v Arsenal, Forest v West Ham, Tottenham v Villa, United v Chelsea. Let's start with Newcastle. Arsenal away. Big Willie's missing. Injuries galore. I'm not confident, but I'm going to go 2-1. Going 2-1 again. It's happening.
Loves it.
And that's a 2-1 Arsenal win. Just to clarify. 2-1 Arsenal win. Bosh. It's in. Locked in. Forest versus West Ham. Bob.
Forest a flat.
First. He's back. First game outside of London. Forest are flat. Sitting seventh in the league on 16 points. Flat as anything.
Yeah. Terrible. Lopetegui coming out farty. 2-1 West Ham. Come on, you Irons.
Coming out farty.
2-1 West Ham. He's gone for it.
Oh, fucking hell. He killed me.
Tottenham at home to Villa. Luke.
3-1 Tottenham.
Oh, fuck. Oh. Yeah, that's a joke, right?
Mate,
it's gone.
Nope.
Oh my God.
It's gone.
I think that might be the worst prediction so far.
Mate, 3-1 Tottenham, mate.
Okay, he wants to wear an Arsenal shirt at the end of the season.
Nope. I'm going with it. I'm backing my team to beat Villa.
Fucking hell.
Well, after that, Mitchell, United v Chelsea. I mean, what are you saying?
I'm going 3-1 Chelsea.
Yes.
Not because of your craziness.
3-1 away.
Yeah, away. There's no United magic anymore. It's a matter of time before Ten Hag gets sacked.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, didn't after today, to be honest.
Exactly.
There's still a possibility.
I probably would change my prediction if he did get sacked.
You wouldn't be allowed to.
I'm going 3-1.
It's final.
Final.
Right. Let's get the AI up. Talk amongst yourselves.
AI.
Spurs.
Oh, dear.
That's fucking outrageous, by the way, Luke. Absolutely no way. There's no way. In fact, I'm going to look up the odds for it now.
Okay.
It's going to take me a while.
Hey, if I was you, mate, I'd put a bet on that.
Oh,
there's no way it's coming in.
Hey, I think we're doing.
Not 3-1.
Yep.
AI's predictions are in.
You're gonna beat City midweek and beat Villa at the weekend.
Yep.
Okay.
Good week for Tottenham.
That's it. The one thing about being a Spurs fan
is you're all fucking mental.
We're all fucking crazy. if we don't back our team, you know, what does it say about Spurs fans?
Spurs 3-1. Well, it's 11-1. I thought it'd be worse than that.
The bookies know, don't they? They know.
11-1.
Something. Yes, they know something. Stick a tenner down. There you go.
No.
110 quid. Done.
Madman.
You're madman.
Play the jazz.
Right, so. Newcastle v Arsenal. Predicted score, 1-1 draw. Ooh. Newcastle's home form has been strong, making it difficult for visiting teams. Yeah, obviously. Their defensive organisation and physical style often frustrates even the best attacks. Arsenal has shown they can handle pressure and grind out results in tough away matches. They've also been defensively solid, which means they are unlikely to concede multiple goals easily.
Ooh.
Wow. Thanks for that, AI.
That'd be 3 games without a win for Arsenal.
It would be. Fucking crisis. Clubbing crisis. Art's out. Nottingham Forest versus West Ham. Score prediction. Nottingham Forest 1. West Ham 2.
Oh, fuck off, AI. I'm fucking sick of this.
It knows you, mate. It knows you're the threat. West Ham's attacking threat. West Ham is showing attacking prowess. Well,
where's that?
Yeah, I know. Particularly through the creative players like Jared Bowen and, that's AI showing its age. It's put old James Ward-Prowse in a West Ham shirt rather than a Forest shirt.
Really?
So, yeah. Their quick counter-attacking style is effective, especially against teams like Forest that leave spaces when pushing forward. Forest have been solid at home. They've shown defensive vulnerabilities. I think they've only conceded the second most amount of goals in the Premier League
but they haven't come up against anyone probably, have they? So
no one massive anyway. West Ham's experience and ability to convert chances could give them the edge here. I do not believe that.
Are you joking?
Right. No.
Well, both me and a robot have predicted it. So
a 2-1 win. That's going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, going to happen.
Tottenham Aston Villa. Tottenham 2, Aston Villa 1.
What?
Tottenham's momentum's not. There's not much of that. Tottenham has been one of the. Hey, it's fucking having a mare.
It knows it. It knows.
Tottenham has been one of the form teams.
This AI needs updated.
I mean, it didn't say form in what bracket, though.
Yeah, it didn't say in good form. It didn't say, yeah. Ange Postecoglou's attacking approach has worked well. They've consistently created and scored goals. I'm not so sure. Aston Villa's inconsistencies. Again, they're not very inconsistent. Villa can be dangerous. They have shown inconsistencies, especially defensively. Their attacking mindset could leave them vulnerable to Spurs' counter-attack. Not so sure on that, anyway. Manchester United versus Chelsea. Predicted score, 1-1. Manchester United... United has been unpredictable this season. It's got something right, especially in terms of defensive lapses. Whilst they can score, I'm not so sure on that. Their defensive frailties make it challenging to keep clean sheets. Chelsea's struggles with consistency. Again, they're probably one of the consistent teams in the league at the moment. Chelsea is still finding stability under the new manager. Yeah. and has had difficulty breaking down compact defences. They're likely to create chances but might struggle to finish them.
That's bollocks.
One, he
needs turning off and on again.
He does need a bit of a reboot. I mean, it needs a bit of a reboot. I shouldn't assume.
Yeah.
If it says anything good about Arsenal, it definitely needs a reboot.
It said withdraw.
Yeah. That's still too good.
I mean, is it?
We need a loss. We need you to keep losing so I can laugh at the Arsenal fans.
We need a quick rundown of last week's predictions. So AI predicted 2-2 draw for the Arsenal-Liverpool match and got 3 points.
Oh, of course it did.
It predicted a 1-1 draw with Chelsea-Newcastle. No points. Crystal Palace lose to Tottenham 2-0, no points. United beating West Ham 2-1, no points. Bob predicted a 3-1 loss, 0 points.
Oh, Bob.
Oh, fucking love.
Predicted a 2-1 win, 0 points. Luke predicted a 2-0 win, 0 points. Mitchell predicted a 2-1 win.
Fucking
3 points.
AI has been defeated.
I mean, statistically speaking, he was bound to win at least once, wasn't he?
So, AI is on 31 points.
Well, I'm going for the draws, mate.
We are on 22 points. So, although Mitchell got 3 points, we did not close the gap because everyone else was
finishing. Well, no, because Clive, of you, Clive.
Shit, yeah.
Because everyone was fucking shit. The individual league table between the four of us stands at Bob on 8 points.
Oh.
Mitchell on 6 points.
Oh.
Clive on 5 points. Luke on 3 points.
Yeah, it's not far off.
I mean, it's getting a little bit closer to Clive wearing a Spurs shirt, isn't it?
Yeah.
Apparently, we have to randomly draw them all from a hat.
You've fucking ruined this, Lucas.
That's true.
I could be wearing a West Ham shirt, and I went to their game today, and I didn't enjoy it.
Did you sing Bubbles?
Absolutely fucking not.
Yeah, you did.
I cheered your second goal. Did not sing Bubbles.
Oh, that's a shame, Clive. You need to go in for the full experience next time. I'll take you.
Look at the blue bubbles.
Wonderful news. Right. I'm good to call it a wrap there. It's an hour and a half.
Oh, my God.
We've done a long one. So,
that's what she said.
Oh, Luke.
It's got to be a thing there, isn't it?
Oh, dear.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.